Hey everybody, Nick Espinoza, your chief security fanatic here, and today we are talking about the Oppenheimer moment of our generation. And I thought this was actually a really interesting write-up by Tobias Mann of The Register on exactly what we're talking about, and that is the future of AI and warfare. Now, Austria's foreign minister this past Monday likened the rise of military artificial intelligence to the existential crisis faced by the creators of the first atomic bomb, basically calling for a ban on killer robots. Now, who we're talking about here is Alexander Schallenberg, and he was basically at a conference entitled Humanity at the Crossroads, Autonomous Weapons Systems and the Challenge of Regulation, end quote. And at that conference, he publicly stated, and I quote, "This, I believe, the Oppenheimer moment of our generation. Autonomous weapon systems will soon fill the world's battlefields. We already see this with AI-enabled drones and AI-based target selection," end quote. Now, Schallenberg's comments come just weeks after the United States Air Force's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, known as DARPA, detailed efforts to put artificial intelligence in control of tanks and even an F-16 fighter jet. That is an advanced fighter, obviously can move at very high speeds and hit targets very, very quickly. Now, Schallenberg sees artificial intelligence as the biggest revolution in warfare since the invention of gunpowder, but feels that it's far more dangerous. And yes, absolutely. If you look at the invention of gunpowder and essentially how long it took, you know, let's say even in the Revolutionary War, hundreds of years after its invention, to essentially load a musket, you know, and fire something, you're looking at anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute per shot. The advancement of warfare when you're looking at machine guns now is cyclical to hundreds of rounds, per minute, obviously if you can feed it that fast. So with the next logical step in evolution is military artificial intelligence, and essentially that involves removing humans from the decision-making process, and he believes there's no time to waste in addressing that directly. And so he also said at this conference, and I quote, "Now is the time to agree on international rules and norms to ensure human control. At least let us make sure that the most profound and far-reaching decision, who lives and who dies, remains in the hands of humans and not machines," end quote. Now, Schallenberg also emphasized he's not against the use of artificial intelligence. That's a perspective shared by many of the other panelists at the conference he was attending, but it's important to understand the implications of this kind of technology being used as a weapon of war. So echoing this sentiment, Hassan Mahmoud, who is Bangladesh's Minister of Foreign Affairs, noted that AI has tremendous potential to advance science and help humanity, and argued that such rules should attract more efforts than automating violence. And I completely agree with the Bangladeshi Minister of Foreign Affairs. But this is exactly what we are talking about here. Now, this is an age-old question where you can look even back in science fiction 50 plus years to the original Star Trek, for example. And if you didn't know, I am a fan, where they literally had essentially two civilizations fighting each other, but no bombs are dropping to the sky. Each civilization had evolved to the point where they had linked computers together in warfare because they hated each other, and the computer just calculated how many casualties would be hit one or the other. And so basically people would say, oh, you were just selected for extermination, please, you know, line up at the booth and kill yourself, because, you know, the computer has dictated that. Now, I don't think we're going to get there, but one of the biggest issues that we have in warfare is that if we remove the humane side of warfare, and I know it sounds crazy to say that, but there are instances where the decision-making capabilities of humans can prevent disasters or mass casualty events, even on a battlefield. If that is removed, we simply have Skynet, where it will calculate essentially what it wants without compassion or without mercy. And that is one of the big issues that we've got. And so the age-old conversation of, if you are talking to an artificial intelligence that's dispassionate and say, let's solve the climate crisis immediately, its default answer is, well, kill all humans. We're the polluters. If we go, problem solved. And so if we are applying that into the weapons of war, this becomes a big issue. And so to the point of Schallenberg and Mahmoud, I completely agree. We should be using this for non-weapon things, but it's going to happen. And so if we all get together as a society and say, yeah, we shouldn't build killer robots, all it's going to take is one country to say, screw you, I'm going to do it. And the game is on. And that's what we face. And that's the biggest issue. If you didn't know, we have an anti-hacking treaty that the United States signed, even though we're hacking a lot of people. And about 27, 28 other countries signed that. But noticeably absent was Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, et cetera, et cetera. And so is that treaty really worth anything? Because not everybody's agreeing to play by the same rules. So when somebody escalates, the natural response, especially in warfare, is to respond in kind and then ideally outdo the opponent, for mutually assured destruction. That was the whole point of the nuclear arms race between the Soviet Union and the United States. And the last thing I think we want to see is that again. So this may be our Oppenheimer moment, and Oppenheimer famously said, I've become death, the destroyer of worlds, quoting the Bhagavad Gita. So we're going to see where this goes. I think it's a great sentiment, but quite frankly, I don't know how you stop this train at this point. If you've got a solution, I'd love to hear it. And please like, share, follow me here on Facebook and Twitter at NickAESP. And please feel free to subscribe to me at YouTube as well. And as always, stay safe, stay online, and please, just please, attempt to stay private. Thanks, everybody.